So, so here we are. Do you want some alpha books? Yeah, hand them out, that's great. So Stuart said this is 10 weeks, and we just want to encourage you to try and come every week. Obviously, there'll be some more people coming next week, well, hopefully. So we're going to try and encourage people to come, you know, tell our friends a bit more about it and stuff, and get as many people who haven't been an alpha before to come. But even if you do an alpha for the second time or the third time, it's amazing how much you learn about Jesus. You know, people do alpha quite a few times. In fact, we've been running the alpha for years and years and years, since it first sort of got well known in the early 90s, in the mid-90s. And, you know, we've encouraged people to do alpha over and over again. You know, the first time they do it, they might start a relationship with God. But actually, the second time you do it, you learn more and you learn more every time. Until you can run out for yourself. But anyway, and like Stuart said, it's 10 weeks, you know, of all the other things you're going to do in your life, of all the other courses you're going to do, learning to speak Italian or cook like the Spanish or whatever you're going to do, you know, computers or, you know, you owe it to yourself to do these 10 weeks and to keep coming in to find out for yourself, because you know, loads and loads of people have had their lives transformed through this. Millions of people are doing alpha right now. You know, we're involved in like 5 courses this week, each week. And that's just what we're involved in. I mean, that doesn't even represent what's happening locally. Locally, there's loads of other courses that we're not involved in happening. There's absolutely hundreds and hundreds of people doing alpha, all wanting to find out more about Jesus and about God. And the success of Alpha is really because it's so simple and it is about Jesus. In fact, the word Alpha, the name Alpha, is one of Jesus' names from the Bible. You know, he's called the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha is the beginning of the Greek alphabet. It just means beginning. And Alpha is a great beginning, a way to have a relationship with Jesus. And tonight I just want to look at one thing that Jesus said. You know, Jesus is absolutely unique. He said things that no one else has said and lived a life that no one else lived, a sinless life, a pure life. You know, even his enemies said he was without sin. Jesus died a death that no war heroes ever died, or anyone. Perfectly innocent for the totally guilty. No one died like Jesus, and definitely no one rose again. Jesus is the only person who's ever come back from the dead. And has been seen, you know, by over 500 people, actually, in the New Testament. Not many people realise that. I think you're just seen by a couple of people, like it was hallucination or something. But Jesus was raised from the dead and then lived with the disciples for 40 days, 6 weeks, knocked around with them, ate with them, cooked for them, taught them, and was seen by lots of people. So Jesus is absolutely unique. And this is one of the things he said just before Jesus went back to heaven, before he went to the cross and died on the cross, rose again and had those 6 weeks. He had this meal with his disciples and he said, "I came from the Father and now I'm going back to the Father." And he said to them this little statement. He said, "You know the way to the place where I'm going. I'm going to prepare a place for you and you know the way." And they looked a bit startled and they said, "We don't know the way. How can you say, you know, we know the way? We don't know the way." And Jesus said this, "I'm the way. I'm the way to get to where I'm going." It's a funny statement, isn't it? "I'm the way to heaven. I'm the way to God." And he actually said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." That's a statement of Jesus to us tonight. You know, the three big things you need in life are in that sentence. Jesus says he meets the need for them. He says, "I am the way." You know, most of us don't know the way. We don't. We don't know where we're going, really, or why, or if we'll ever get there. You know, we might have some dreams, and we're told to dream big and hope big, and, you know, and in school, they pump that into you, don't they? Which is all right, which is good, because it's to get you to perform. And but the truth is, life doesn't work. I mean, I don't know whether you've discovered that yet, but you will. Life doesn't work. You can have big dreams, but guess what? There's a problem between getting to that big dream. It's called you. And we, you know, we have problems in our lives through ourselves, through our own sin. And so life doesn't work. And we lose our way. We begin to wonder why, where we're going and why. Has anyone ever been lost when they're a little kid, lost in a supermarket or anything? Do you remember that feeling when you're a little kid? When it dawns on you that you don't know where your mum and dad are and you're really lost, it's so scary. You just, this is what little kids do. They stop and their little lip begins to go, and they start to cry. And in the end they just go, and then a security guard or someone spots them and they go up to them and they say, "You all right, son?" And the little kid says, "Don't touch me, I'll sue you." No, they don't. They go, the little kid says, "I've lost my mummy and daddy." And the security guard says, "That's a bit worrying because you're 47. No, no, he doesn't. But and then, it's an awesome feeling when you get connected to your mum and dad. The great thing about being a little kid is when you're lost, you acknowledge it. When you're lost, you stop and you cry until you're found. The problem is when you get older, is you don't do that. You keep going. You pretend. Men definitely don't, especially when they lose the directions in the car, don't they? Stop and ask someone. "No way, I'll find my way. No way, I'll find my way. Use the sat-nav. I don't need the sat-nav." No, but because men are proud. But you know what? Women are proud too. And as we get older, as adults, the truth is we lose our way, but we don't want to acknowledge that. So we just keep going. One of the things we do is speed up. It does. The older you get, the more scared you get. As you realise you're going through your life and actually your dreams aren't being met. You know, your little pipe dreams about, well, if I meet the perfect person, then I'll be happy and that's what life's about. They'll be my way. When you realise that isn't going to happen, no matter how good they are, they're not good enough. Because actually, only God can satisfy your soul. That's just the truth. No person can satisfy your soul because they're not God. No matter how good they are, they're never good enough. Life is never enough. And then relationships break down, families break down. It's just normal. It's just normal life. And Jesus said this. It's because you need me. Jesus said, "I'm the way. I'm the way through this life." If you're aiming at anything else, you're off track. You're lost. You need me. And one of the things you do when you're lost is that you speed up. You know, we've often said when we've been coming out of a city, often preaching all over the UK, we're often, before the days of sat-nav, me and Stu were often lost. We get to the place all right, somehow. You know, through mobiles and talking to people and all that. We get there. And then we'd have a great meeting. We'd be like, "See ya, yeah, great. Where are we?" "I don't know." And then we start heading out of the city, you know, city. "There it is, there it is." And it's a nightmare. You're lost. And the more lost you are, the faster you go. It's true. If you're on the motorway and you think, "Is this south or north?" You just get your foot down to the next roundabout. You speed up. And that's what people do in life. You just speed up. You fill it with more stuff. "I'll have another holiday. You know, I'll have another holiday and another holiday." And Christmases, you know, just come round. Like, I know when you're young, Christmases, you know, they take forever to come, don't they? When you're a kid, Christmas only comes once every 5 years, doesn't it? You notice that? Summer holidays are 3 years long. And Christmas has come every 5 years. But when you get older, Christmas has come faster and faster. It's scary. Yeah. Our Christmas that we had was about 2 weeks ago. And we're getting ready for the next one now. Christmases go like motorway bridges. And when you realise, if you live a long, healthy life, you're only going to get 80 bridges. And there's already 38 behind you. Or more. You realise that life is just so incredibly short. And where am I going? Where am I going? Jesus said, actually, if you're not following me, you don't know where you're going. You're lost. But he made this promise. He said, if you connect to me, I'm the way. I'm the successful way through this life into eternity. He said, no one who follows me will walk in the darkness. That's a big promise. You don't walk in the dark. People who don't know Jesus, they really are walking in the dark. They're guessing. They're hoping. They're waiting for the next night out, or the next holiday, or the next car, or the next relationship. And it never, ever satisfies, because only God can satisfy your life. Jesus said, I'm the way. If you're lost, the best thing you can do is stop and cry. And when adults reach that point in their life, like Stuart in that bedroom that night, right, I can't cope. I look like I'm coping. I can't cope. I'm going to stop and I'm going to cry. Jesus, come into my life. Then he says, oh, I've been waiting for you to say this. And then he finds you. He's the security guard that connects you to the Father and brings you back home. I'm home. I've found God. I was 37. But you could have found him at 17 or 14 or 27. As soon as you decide to stop and cry, you can be found. But as long as you pretend, you just keep living the fantasy and you're never getting anywhere. Like the true story of the airline pilot, the young pilot who got hopelessly lost going over the Atlantic. And eventually one of the radio towers saw him, spotted him on the radar and said, Flight B-17, where exactly are you headed? And at least he was honest. He radioed back and said, I have no idea, but we're making record time. I don't know where we're going, but we're blasting there. Pilots do actually get lost. I know a guy once who used to wear, George Verwer wears the map of the world. He had the map of the world on a Zippo bomber jacket. And he was travelling in South America once. And he was allowed to go into the cockpit. And when he got into the cockpit to have a look round, they sometimes let people in. He used to, them days anyway. When he got in, the pilot and the co-pilot were having an argument. They couldn't decide whether they were going over Guatemala or some other country. They were lost. So they used his jacket to find out where they were. It turned out they were actually over Ecuador. But anyway, and you know, people get lost with even all the high technology of life. Jesus said, I'm the way. Jesus also said, I am the truth. What a statement. I mean, think about that for a minute. Jesus said, I'm the truth about life. That's amazing. You know, what is the truth? Pilate said to Jesus in his trial, Jesus said, I've come to bear witness to the truth. Pilate said, truth? What is truth? That's what you feel. That's what most people have that question in life. What is the truth? Jesus said, it's me. Jesus said, of all the ideas about life that there is out there, I'm the right one. Wow. What a statement. Of all the philosophies and religions and ideas, I'm the accurate one. Wow, no one's dared say that. No prophet, no religious leader has ever said that. I am the truth. Because this is what's trendy to say. You'll have heard this. People say truth is relative, right? So, well, that's true for you, but it's not true for me. I mean, it's just ridiculous. How can that be? How can that be real? It's ridiculous. No, something's either true or it's false. Take, for instance, world religions. Islam believes there's one God who you could never know because he's too holy. He's impersonal. You can't know him. You can't get close to him. Hindus believe that there are millions of gods, many who are angry that you have to appease through sacrifice. Buddhists are non-committal about whether there's a God or not, or whether there even is a God. Christians believe that there's one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit in three persons, who is full of love and you can know him intimately. Now here's something that really should be able to be settled in junior school. How can they all be right? They can't be. They contradict each other. And to say, well, you're all right, is a cop-out. No, some are right and some are wrong. And we don't like the sound of that because it's offensive. But Jesus isn't bothered about who he offends. He just says it like it is. He says, I am the only way to the Father. If you don't come through me, you aren't going. He says, I am the truth. I'm the truth. When you're looking to Jesus, you look in a mirror that tells you the truth. You've ever been to the fair and you've been in those mirrors that make you look super fat? I've got those mirrors at home. I always look fat in them. But anyway, and you look at others, and some others you've got like a massively, you know, you've got a head shape like that, and, you know, just ridiculous. Or you know, frosted glass or smashed mirrors. They don't give you an accurate reading. You know, Jesus is the truth. He's the truth about you. When you come to Jesus, you see the truth about yourself, the truth about life, the truth about God. You see reality as it is. That's why it's sometimes hard to come to Jesus. Jesus said, I've come as the light, so that everyone who lives in the darkness doesn't have to stay there anymore. And he says, this is the judgment. Light has come. And so if you want to come to the light, you can. But it's a scary thing sometimes to come to the light, to come to the truth about yourself. Because the truth is, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. There's things about me I don't like. There's things about us that we've done wrong. We've hurt other people. We're full of rubbish. We're full of lust and anger and hate and greed and selfishness and fear and anxiety and pride. And we're full of all sorts of stuff that when we come to Jesus, it actually gets exposed. You see it. But only then can it be forgiven and cleansed. You can face the truth when you realise how much God loves you. Jesus said, I am the truth. You might have heard this. People sometimes say, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Well, actually, that's not the truth. Because you can be sincerely wrong. You know, I sincerely believed that in India, they drove on the other side of the road from us. Would anyone else guess that as well? Okay, you all knew. I thought, like most of the countries, I thought in India they drive on the other side of the road. But actually, because of the British Empire, do you know what? In India, I've discovered, travelling in India, that they drive on the same side as us. Now, that's a scary thought for me. I'll tell you why. Because it would have been very possible for me to have landed in Bombay one night, hired a car, and set off into the city fully convinced that I was driving on the right side of the road and being on the wrong side of the road, I'd have been dead. Because, you know what, was I sincere? Absolutely. Sincerely wrong. And you know what, sometimes being wrong doesn't matter, does it? If it's just, you know, if it's over something that doesn't matter. Oh, I thought it was Thursday and it was Friday. Big deal. You know, but, or I thought I could do this course and I can't. Maybe a bit bigger of a deal. Or I sincerely thought I could live the rest of my life with this person, and I can't. Much bigger deal. But what about ultimate? What about I sincerely thought when you died that was it? So that's how I lived my life. But I was wrong. I sincerely thought that there wasn't a God and I didn't have to give account to anyone for how I lived. But you know what? I was wrong. Sometimes being wrong is disastrous. I thought I was injecting one thing and I was injecting another. And I'm dead. Sometimes being wrong is terrible. And when it comes to the big things of life, Jesus says, look, I'm the truth. If you want to get it right, if you want to know how to live and how to successfully live this life and pass over in the hereafter, it's me. I'm the truth. You know, and then he says this. Lastly, it's this. He says, I am the life. The life? Who wants to live the good life? Everybody wants to be happy. Who wants to be happy? You know what? Right back in Genesis, in the beginning of the Bible, we're given the keys to happiness. They are, I call this the Genesis factor. God gave Adam three things. One, a relationship with himself. Two, a partner who was faithful to him. Three, a job. A garden, actually. You know what I thought was hilarious? In the papers a little while ago, I think it was the Times or some paper that I read. No. I think it might have been the Guardian or the Telegraph. Iran. Or was it the Beano? But anyway, whatever it was, they did a survey in the UK about happiness, about who were the happiest people in the UK. And the hilarious thing is, those three things came up as the top. The happiest people were A, churchgoers. First of all, they were people who had a relationship with God. B, they had something else going for them. They had a long-term happy relationship. They were married happily. And C, this was the weirdest one, they owned a garden. That's hilarious. They found that people in the UK were happier if they actually owned a bit of land themselves and looked after it. Hilarious, no matter how big it was. So you could actually be a churchgoer and have a good relationship with God and have a good marriage, but if you lived in a block of flats, you weren't as happy as someone who had their own home and with a garden. That's interesting, fascinating, because right back in the beginning of the Bible, that's what God gave man. He gave him a job and an environment where he was close to creation. He gave him a partner who was faithful to him, and he gave him himself. Those are the things that make for happiness. Who wants the good life? Well, you can have it. But you know what? You only get those three things through Jesus. You do. Otherwise, again, you're on your own, trying to find those things. And how many of us know that you make big, big mistakes over and over again without God? Jesus said, I am the life. If you want the good life, the multicoloured life, the fullness of life, the best this life can give, you need to come to me, because you need my love, you need to be forgiven, and you need to know how to forgive, and you need to be full of my life. And you know, the word Jesus used was a Greek word called zoe, which meant multicoloured, multicoloured life. Probably no one here remembers, or some of you might, when you first got colour telly. But I remember I was 8, we grew up in Billingham, and we first got a colour television. We had a black and white one for years. Has anyone ever seen a black and white telly? Only in your life. So you've seen a black and white telly, that's awesome. Well, we used to have a black and white telly because everyone only had black and white tellies until colour tellies came out. And we were like a TV family, you know, every night we just watched telly every night, and we'd love telly and never had a meal on the table. We just lived in front of the telly every night. And so it was a big deal for me when I was 8 years old, and my dad wheeled in this first colour telly. It's a massive big 28-inch screen, wooden monster of a telly on big wheels with a metal trolley. And he wheeled it in. It was about that wide, you know, that wide and that deep. And he had massive buttons that stuck out like that. And I remember him plugging it in and pressing it on. And you used to have to wait for them to warm up. Do you remember that? I don't know what was warming up. Well, I'm just looking at those who were sort of over the age of 60. No, I'm only kidding. Sorry. And anyway, wait for it to warm up, and it blinked a couple of times. Blink, blink, blink. And then came on. It was black and white, got the wrong telly. No, it was colour. And it was just awesome. The grass was green, the ball was white. And there was, you know what, there was just no going back. It was colour telly. What a difference between black and white. And you know, when Jesus said, I've come that you may have life, that's what he's saying. Most people live life in black and white. They do. Living off their own ideas, their own emotions. Just surviving, actually. And sometimes not surviving very well. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have a better life than that. Life in multicolours. When you become a Christian, you're still you. But you're the you that God created you to be. You're the best you can be, actually. You're a new you. You're still you, but you're a multicoloured you. There's a new dimension to your life. Spiritually, you're alive. You were dead to God spiritually. Dead in your sins. But when you become a Christian, you come to Jesus, you get forgiven and you come alive spiritually. And then there's a new dimension to your life. Then you really live in life to the full. And when this earthly life finishes, this life that God, Jesus has given us, is eternal. It goes on and on and on and on. Because Jesus came to give us life. So we really want to encourage you to just come every week to learn about Jesus, to read the books, take the books home, read as much as you can, meet God, and have your life changed. And invite your friends, you know, so more people can come and hear about Jesus. Because actually getting to know him is the most important thing in life. Amen.